WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are into the summertime, and we got baseball. We got some football around the corner. We got a new NBA champion. But it's always golf season for Don Mohler, who joins us now. All of our Baltimore Positive broadcast brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets and our Wise Conversations. And, of course, our friends at State Fair. I got my State Fair Catonsville shirt on right now. I got to get over there for some Brussels sprouts. I've been meaning to get over there for dinner. My wife's back home now, so we got to get over there, get ourselves a little steak, a little crab cakes, delicious crab cakes at State Fair. We made a stop over there. Our friends at Mohler and Gary Realty still actively pursuing selling my condominium. It's a bear market, a bull market, all in the same way. I don't know what to say. Don Mohler is here. Don, it's golf season, or golf season's over, but it's golf season for those of us who play, right? The major thing is now toward the back end, and you love having Ed on the program. We love talking golf with Ed. It's local. Ed, I didn't even know you were over at Forest Park. I thought the whole time you might have been over at Carroll Park.
Yeah, no. I'm definitely Forest Park. Actually, close to State Fair. I might have to go over there for lunch myself today.
right around the corner from Kernan Hospital.
Yes, sir.
As I said, Nestor, Forest Park, near and dear to my heart.
Well, we promote the Classic Five, and I don't know what five he's on. You know, you could be on any one any given day, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Ed Miller, the outstanding head pro at Forest Park, the Classic Five. Let's start with that, Ed, before we even get into the year in majors, because I've said before, but let you extol the virtues of the Classic Five, because Nestor mentions Clifton Park, we got Carroll Park, we got Forest Park, we've got Mount Pleasant, we got Pine Ridge. I mean, these are five terrific and very, very different golf courses.
Absolutely. Very different in layout, some of it in length, but the best part about the Classic Five is, regardless of your ability, every golf course can play from a beginner golfer to a scratch level golfer, for sure. Just play the right set of tees. Each golf course has something unique to offer in terms of views and aesthetics, but always open and serving the people of Baltimore.
Hey, teach me a quick history lesson on this for the courses. How long? I mean, they've been there from the beginning of time, right? These were deemed golf areas back when Baltimore City was a big city and the suburbs were, Dundalk was a long way away 150 years ago, right?
Yes, sir. Well, Clifton is probably our oldest one. It's over 100 years old. I know Forest Park, where I'm at, we've been here since 1934. So, we've been, between all five of us, we've been around for close to 100 years serving Baltimore, and yeah, it's been a good run so far.
Well, a lot of cities don't have golf courses in the middle of them like that because they weren't plotted out that way, the way we were 100 years ago, right?
Yeah, usually. Most of the golf courses are definitely, they try to find them a nice little country spot, so to speak. So it is very unique in that we have urban golf, four of them specifically, definitely right in the city. So,
well, I used to drive through Lake Clifton and Clifton Park, like in the summer, I would always drive through, and it's the only golf course I knew because the number 22 bus would go through it. I'm from Dundalk. I didn't go to Rocky. I never saw a golf club in my life until I was 18 years old, right? So I just, that golf course was the thing that introduced me to golf. I thought that's what golf was, taking the 22 through there.
Well, Ed, that, I don't think that's an interesting point that Nestor raises. I don't think we talk about it enough, and that is the sense that golf courses are really oases in the midst of our urban areas. They provide green space. They provide a sense of calm. I mean, you look at Forest Park and Clifton and Carroll. I mean, they're right in the middle of urban areas, and they provide this sort of sense of serenity, do they not? Until you start to hit the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Until you got to chase that golf ball. But no, right. You're absolutely correct, Don. It is, I always like to call it a 200-acre oasis in the middle of the city or on the edges of the city. But once you step foot onto the golf course, it's you kind of forget that you're in the city. Except for at Clifton, you got the beautiful sight lines of the city buildings and stuff like that. But it is absolutely an oasis. We provide nice green space, like you said, clean oxygen, and a place for the animals to live as well.
Yeah. Well, Ed, I would say this to you, having as a kid gone through there. My friend Ed Lauer, who plays guitar, everybody knows Ed. Ed grew up right on the corner of, I guess it's Bel Air and Erdman, right? Right? Little Flower, Bel Air Edison, I guess that area is called.
Yeah.
I always think to myself, because I grew up in Dundalk, and I always talk about lacrosse this way. Nobody in my neighborhood played lacrosse. Like, Mueller's got all this lacrosse background in West Baltimore and all. Nobody in my neighborhood played lacrosse. Nobody played soccer. I played tennis. There were a couple kids that played tennis, a couple kids that played roller hockey. But I would think in the city, you grew up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and that, you know, in those neighborhoods, to think that you would walk up, find a golf ball, and learn how to hit it, that it would come to you in a way that you could walk to the edge of your street because it's in the city. I don't know. There's a lot of that going on anymore. I mean, golf feels to me like you got to have clubs. You got to practice. You got to have a range. You got to get in a car. You got to go somewhere. I would think for a lot of Baltimoreans during that period of time, these courses were places at the edge of the neighborhood where the kids could walk up and learn. And it would come to them in a way that it didn't come to me being in Dundalk.
Absolutely. That's it's neat you say that, but talking to some of my regulars in the senior group that I have out here, ironically, a lot of them will tell you that's actually how they learn golf. Trying to sneak onto the golf course, maybe practice or play a few holes, caddy for golfers, even though we were public golf courses, there are tons of my seniors that tell me all the time that they
used to caddy. See, you keep saying your seniors, and that's interesting because they've had a whole lifetime of this, right? They did
yes,
discover
sir.
It in that way, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you know, it is funny, isn't it, Ed? Boy, it's funny how we touch on different topics. Guys of a certain age, my age, certainly, people know Caddyshack as the movie, right? Bill Murray and the gopher, you know, that's what they, but truly, the Caddyshack was a thing. Young kids would go and hang at the Caddyshack and hope they would get called to make a trip or two around the 18 holes, right?
Absolutely. It was a great way to make some money, to meet people and
like shoveling,
network, so to speak.
Like shoveling snow or, you know, Ouija boys, like literally, but for golf courses, right? Literally.
Throw two
that
bags.
Is, that is
Young
correct.
Kids could throw
correct.
Two bags on and have a
pretty See, that
nice
was something that never occurred to me. I didn't have a golf course up the street. We shoveled snow. I delivered newspapers. You know that, Don, the Dundalk Indian.
Yeah, cut
but
some
as
grass.
A kid, to walk into a golf course and say, Mister, can I carry your bags?
Yeah.
That's just something that feels old fashioned to me.
You sit in the Caddyshack and you wait for Mr. Jones to say, hey, I want little Nestor. He did a nice job. He read some nice putts for me last week. So I want to get Nestor again. Well, Ed, it has been, and I always throw the Players' Championship into the mix when I talk about majors. I mean, in terms of if you're a golfer and storylines, this one's been pretty remarkable, right?
Oh, it's been a great year for the majors in golf. You're absolutely correct. You know, obviously you have Phil winning at the oldest person to ever win a major. Then you go to the other end of the spectrum with, say, Colin Morikawa, who under 25 years old, just won his second major. So you've had a great mix this year in the five tournaments. Kind of like a passing of the guard, so to speak. There's definitely a lot of young talent out there right now.
Well, there was a time when it was just Woods and Mickelson for a long period, right? Now it's every week when we bring you on before these majors, it's like there's 30 guys that can win any of these things, literally. Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a good 30 to 40 guys every week, but if you look at the top 10 in general, Nestor, it's definitely it seems like the same five or six names have been popping up on this leaderboard. So I think you know, the generation of Woods and Mickelson, obviously I'm a fan of that, but we're definitely moving into the next one with Jordan Spieth, maybe Brooks Koepka, obviously Colin Morikawa, only 24 years old. So,
well, you know,
future looks good.
Lost in the shuffle. Let's start with the most recent major, because that's on everyone's mind. I mean, when you say Morikawa is 24, I mean, to give that in, put that into some perspective, McIlroy had won four by the time he was 25 years old. And our good friend John Feinstein talks about, everybody thought, you know, Rory was going to win quickly. He was going to get to 9, 10, 11. And then all of a sudden, you might be talking about him in Tiger Woods kind of territory. Well, now all of a sudden, we wake up, it's 7 years later, and Rory hasn't won another major. It's amazing how quickly it comes and it goes. Now, here's Colin Morikawa. He's won two. He's 24. The only three guys to have won four majors by the age of 25 are Rory, who we mentioned, and Jack and Tiger. So Colin has a chance to do that and break this kid's game down for us, Ed, a little bit. And I want you to start with – I want you to be the golf pro here.
All right.
Start with that takeaway. That takeaway is one of the slowest – takeaways I've seen. Talk to me about whether that's something you would teach, or is that something that just works for him? Because my goodness, you can almost fall asleep in his takeaway.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely got the second slowest takeaway, I believe, in golf. But you know, I wouldn't necessarily try to teach that, Don. I think that's kind of a personal preference. But I do. He does have a nice slow takeaway. But when you actually diagnose his swing and you look at it, where the club is as far as swing plane and stuff like that, his swing is actually pretty perfect. Tee to green, he looks like he will have no problems for the next 10 years getting from tee to green. His swing is, like, in my opinion, I think his swing is better than Spieth, you know. But Morikawa's got a – he's got an awesome swing, so he's going to be there for a while.
And he appears to have – again, you've worked – I assume you've worked with a lot of juniors as well.
Yes, sir.
And you talk a lot – I'm sure you, when you work with juniors, you talk a lot about temperament. This kid is unflappable, right? I mean, yeah, he just – this is amazing. He came down the last four or five holes of a major championship like he was playing a five-hour Nassau at his club.
You're absolutely correct. I think the backswing, I think his walk, it's definitely his personality. He's very zen-like out there, and that's why I'm becoming a big fan of his, and I really do think the best is still to come for him. So,
what's been a summer of that, right, for the Bucks the other night to win, to have a star is born here and someone that no one can root against, for golf to have new names, new faces to come into this, a name that we weren't talking about a couple of years ago, and a 24-year-old name, as you pointed out.
Absolutely. And, you know, to kind of add on to, like, what Don is saying, I know Morikawa does not have four majors yet, but he became one of the maybe two golfers of all time to win two majors, both the first time he's ever played in it. He joined a list of youngest players with two majors that include Gene Sarazen, Bobby Jones, Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Rory. So, yeah, I think he's definitely the
good
real deal. Yeah, very well, good company.
I mean,
there, right?
And now one of the – I think one of the best things the tour did, I don't know if, how long it's been now, maybe 15 years. I should have looked that up. Maybe you know. But I, however long the FedEx Cup has been in play. So now we're going to get serious. And one of the really exciting things, he's obviously going to be at the top of everybody's list to win the FedEx Cup, along with Jordan and Justin Thomas and some others, and maybe Phil flying the flag for the old guys. One of the most exciting things to happen here in a long time is we're going to have the BMW Championship right here in Baltimore County. What does that mean for golf, Ed?
Well, I think it's great for golf. I think it's, you know, technically I know they've had a couple events at Congressional, but this is the first PGA Tour event to come to Baltimore in over 60 years.
60. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, ironically, the last one was at Mount Pleasant in the early 60s.
One
the,
of the
Eastern Open.
But when I think about in our lifetime, we had a big LPGA here for a while, right? Annika Sorenstam won. I mean, and that, I'm going back 30 years now, right? I was at the paper when that happened, right? So Reg Murphy was the Sun publisher. He loved golf. The Sun sponsored, like, did all of that. But it's been a day, right? Seniors, but that's it, right?
Yep. No, see, we've had the seniors, and we've had, like you said, the ladies. So this is the first big men's event in a long time. And like Don said, the fact that this is a playoff event, where it's going to be the top 70 players in the playoffs. So it's going to be the cream of the crop again, coming to Baltimore. Caves Valley is an awesome location. Fairly new golf course, I guess.
When you
under
say cream
30
of the crop,
old.
Will everybody, all the names you brought, they'll all be there? Will there be anybody that skips out on that you could? Woods, Mickle. I mean, who's not going to, of the big names, who's not going to be here?
Ed, that's, pick up on Nestor's question and maybe educate. Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because I assume that everybody knows that stuff. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you need to be in the top 70 to get there and earn these points. Walk us through that.
Okay, well, this is definitely, like you said, the FedEx, the playoffs in golf have been around a little over 10 years now. And actually, Nestor, the players are accumulating points this whole year based on where they finish and how many wins. In a few weeks,
the
playoff.
You are talking to an idiot. I have no, I don't care about this. I don't know. I'm doing crab cakes next month. I move my place to other places. So you are really educating me. So treat me like the idiot I am, please.
All right. We will.
Why
so
we
the
do
playoffs? Playoffs are new to golf. I think it's a great thing. It's going to help, you know, it helps the fall coverage, so to speak, or the end of the year, because like Don was talking about, the majors are over. So in the past, once the majors are over, you're kind of like, okay, well, what's next? Well, now the PGA Tour added the playoffs, and it'll start off with the top 125 players on the money list will qualify, or the FedEx Cup point list will qualify for the playoffs. And after each tournament, there's only three of them, but each tournament they'll cut down. By the time they get to the BMW, it will only be the top 70 players on the point list that are allowed to come and play at Caves. And most of the time, once you get to that, the top 70, everybody will show up, because the winner, once they win the playoffs, wins a cool $10 million on top of whatever else they win.
That's an incentive.
Yeah, it's a small incentive. So everybody is definitely going to be there. But based on the fact that you need points, there will be players that will not. You know, obviously Tiger Woods has been hurt and has missed the whole year. Even if Tiger were to come back, he probably wouldn't not have enough points to get into the playoffs. You know, so right now everybody is jockeying to try to get into that top 125.
So there are some legendary guys that only like fly in and play majors now, that they're not, they're just famous golfers. They're not a part. Tiger Woods will not be here. You promise.
Yeah, yeah. That is correct.
Well,
that
I mean, when you say the top golfers in the world will be here, and the first thing a kid from Dundalk's like, well, if I go out there, where's Tiger?
Tiger's still trying to learn how to walk again.
Yeah.
He got to do that.
That's
first.
Right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, will Mickelson be part of that or no? Is he too far?
No. He's right now. Mickelson is definitely he's about 55th right now. So he's in the top 70.
Well, I know
so
some of these guys. This is the thing I do know about golf. The really wealthy guys only come in, and they're like Andre the Giant. They only come and wrestle once a year. You know, they don't wrestle in the preliminary cards. And I do know that some guys are such big stars that they won't be here, and that's sort of counterintuitive, which is why I wanted to bring it up, because I think there are some big, big names in golf that you're thinking, maybe, maybe not. I just don't know the difference. I'm assuming all the Koepkas and all those people will be here.
Yeah, Koepka's in the top 20 right now. He should definitely be there. You know,
on points, Nestor.
That's right.
As Ed said, it's points that you earn every week, and every week, every Monday, you know, they update them. You can see them at the end of a Sunday, and you can see, as Ed's saying, who the top 125 are. And last few tournaments, people are scrambling to get into that 125, right, Ed?
Yeah, that is correct. Like a good name that everybody knows right now, to give you an idea, Nestor, is Ricky Fowler. You know, Ricky Fowler's obviously had a bad year by his standards, but he has played in the FedEx Cup playoff every year for the last 10 years. But right now, Ricky is sitting at 124 on the money on the point list. So he needs to definitely start playing some good golf to make sure he's into the playoffs.
That's why I bring you on, Ed, because I put that out there, and you start giving me names of guys that, if you're a Ricky Fowler fan and you look at this, you're like, he's going to be golfing in Caves. I can go out there. I can watch his swing. I can stay. Maybe.
Maybe.
it's like saying, I'm an Oriole fan. I want to see them play in the that's right, the regular season. They have to get there. They have to earn it. So you're teaching me that part of it.
And I think what bringing up Ricky points out, Nestor, and it is what those of us who love the game love so much about it is a really, really hard sport. I mean, you mentioned that for years it was Tiger and Phil. You forget, and maybe you weren't watching it back upon a day, but early in Tiger's career, there was a young man named David Duval. And Ed will remember David. David Duval was the next great thing, and it was supposed to be Tiger and Dave. They did one of the first Under the Light matches.
Well, that was Sergio Garcia after that, right?
Sergio. Right. Now, Sergio's gone on to still have a better than average career. David Duval, for the most part, Ed, right?
Yeah.
He can't play anymore. Early in his career, whatever, almost like Ian Baker Finch, who was one of the great players in the world, who suddenly couldn't break 80. I mean, I read an article, Ian Baker Finch couldn't break 80. And this guy was one of the greatest players in the world. David Duval couldn't break 80. And he was one of the greatest players in the world. Rory's still playing very well, but he hasn't won a major in 7 years. This is a hard sport, right, Ed?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the things I always liked about it. Compared to other sports, golf is one of the ones where you have to continue to play well continue to make money and continue to keep your card, because if you don't, well, next year there's going to be somebody else to take your place, and then you got to work your way back to the PGA Tour. So that part I do love. I think it's great competition. It keeps the guys sharp. It's yeah, and it is definitely a hard sport.
How's your game? You doing all right?
Yeah, game's not bad. You know, yeah.
You probably don't play nearly enough, do you?
Nah, not at all. Not as much as we used to. You're absolutely right. I just get to live vicariously through all the other people golfing every day.
That's one of the drag. Every head pro, and I've known a lot of head pros and been fond of many of them. They're giving lessons. They're working with juniors. They're trying to handle the merchandise. I said, talk a little bit about what a head pro does, because I would say you're like a. You're like the manager of a Dick's Sporting Goods store. You're a recreation coach. You're an ambassador. I'm not sure when you fit the game in. Talk about the day in a life of a
head just thought you were like a psychiatrist. I thought, really?
Yeah, that too.
That's part of it too, absolutely. And that's, yeah. No, I appreciate that, Don. It makes me want to pat myself a little bit, but you're right. We come to work. We manage a pro shop. We manage a 40 to 50 person staff. We're managing the recreation aspect of it for our local citizens and scoring and running leagues. We're
managing
sure
the weather.
Grass is
don't
cut.
Forget the weather
if
every day.
People, if, yeah. If your golfers
well, I only take
don't
credit
like,
for the good days.
If they don't like the rough or they think the sand traps haven't been handled well that day, they're not searching out the groundskeeper. They're coming to yell at you, right? It's like, hey,
that is
hell,
correct.
That trap was all screwed up on 14.
But don't hit the
absolutely.
Ball in a trap is what I would say.
That's what
there
I
you go.
Say
I gave
sometimes.
Your answer, Ed. You got that?
Yes, I'll remind everybody, we're with Ed Miller, head pro Forest Park Golf Course. If you haven't played one of the Classic Fives, I know people are big into making lists. Now, the summer lists are the big things. I want to do this. Well, put on your list, play every one of the Classic Five courses, because – They really are that beautiful, and they truly are.
How much is a day of golf, Ed? If I want even want to come out and play next Wednesday, what do I got to do? Like, seriously, if somebody wants to play next week, online, sign up, what do they do, and how much is it?
Yeah, well, you would go to classic5golf.com or call the pro shop of whatever the Classic 5 courses you want to play and just say, hey, I'm Nestor Aparicio. I want to book a tee time next Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And hopefully we would have a time close to that, and we would reserve the tee time for you and your guest, and you would come out. And
you don't have to join a country club, anything like that. I don't have to get a special car.
No.
What kind of shoes? You have to wear special shoes.
Yeah, well, we're you know.
Rules, sorry. Any, right.
Yeah, certain rules with the shoes
like
and
rules.
The dress code. But.
Probably help you. Probably, yeah, don't go out there looking like a schmo, man. Look,
have to shave
look like you've been to the course.
Nah, that'll look good. That'll look good.
Look like
so,
you've been to the course before. Would you put on a collared shirt and a nice pair of golf pants? Look
you
like
guys
you
go
belong.
Golf. I'm going to be eating crab cakes and like zip
days and crabs. Hey, before
well,
we
you can
get
eat a
out
crab cake after golf. So
before we let you go, Ed, I got to tell you, and it's everybody that listens to this show knows that I've got a soft spot for Jordan Spieth. I you know, whether it's his love of his family and his sister, and he just seems like this wonderful young kid who has a pretty unorthodox game. I mean, he sort of sprays it around, but my goodness, he's laser around the green. I think in getting lost, and not to take anything away from Colin Morikawa, because it was an incredible performance, Jordan played lights out on Sunday, right? In the
absolutely.
Final of a major.
Yeah, now Jordan's game has definitely been trending in the right direction over the last 2 months. And, he looks really good. He looks like he's about to break through again. And I think that's one of the reasons why people like Jordan Spieth. You know, opposite of maybe Morikawa is you get to see Jordan hit some neat shots out of the rough, trees.
Fade it here, hook it there, run it there. I tell you what, though, Ed, what was your reaction? And again, those of us who play the game and chase the silly little white ball, when he missed those two little short putts on 17 and 18 on Saturday, I turned to my grandsons because I was watching with my grandsons, said, boys, I don't know what that means. Well, what it meant was that instead of being in a playoff, he finished two shots back.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I mean, those two putts. I mean, we all know it's that thing. Early in the week matters, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the old cliche in golf. You know, the 3-foot putt equals the same as a 300-yard drive. They both count as one. Yeah. And I would have actually lost money on Spieth, because after that Saturday finish, you're absolutely right. I actually turned to my dad and said, "Ooh, I think Jordan's done."
Oh, I thought he was going to shoot 78 or 79.
Yeah, well, yeah, so on Sunday.
I'm with you. I said, that's it. Because I'm thinking of my own brain. My own brain would be fried. You know, I'd just chalk it up. I'd say he's 78 or 79. Shows what he's made of. Hey, Ed, one other thing that I had on my mind, because my grandsons asked me, and I didn't have a great answer. They look, anybody that looks at that course, and I joked that Royal St. George's Zinger, Paul Azinger, made me laugh out loud when he said, it's certainly the lumpiest, bumpiest place ever. I mean, there's not a straight lie on that course. I mean, the ball's either above your feet, below your feet, side hill lie. There's not a flat lie there. Same with the greens. But my grandson, you know, they like golf, and they look at that course and they go, "Pop, what's that?" I mean, they're used to courses in the United States. They're used to Pine Ridge and Clifton Park and Forest. They're used to trees and swift fairway. They go, "What the pop? What is that?"
They do it different over there.
How do you explain Lynx golf to people, Ed?
Well, it's definitely it's the most natural of golf, in meaning that most Lynx golf is they don't interrupt the ground. When they lay out a golf course, they just lay out the golf course, shape the fairway, and they leave the mounds and the fairways and the rough. And, you know, obviously they cut the grass in the fairway shorter than the rough, but because there's a lack of trees and stuff like that on most links courses, that's where they let the fescues grow up on the side. And, to me, it's neat. They'll tell you that, that course was over 130 years old. So I'm sure nature and wind and everything has kind of helped shape some of that mounding. But, I think it's fascinating. I think it's pretty unique. There's a couple courses in Maryland that are close to that type of golf, so you can get out there and play it once in a while.
Where would they be, Ed?
Well, you have Renditions Golf in Annapolis, it's got some lookalike British Open copy holes. So it's really good. And
I've even been on that course.
Oh, have you? There you go. And you know, they got some American holes too, but you know, half of the holes are definitely a Lynx style. And then you got a couple toward the ocean. Hunter's Oak used to be a Lynx style, only had one tree on the golf course, stuff like that. Actually, if you come and play Forest Park lately, Don, we have fescues on about 30 acres out here now. So
there you go.
We'll give you the look of it anyway on a few holes.
There you go. Well, you know, the other thing that happened Ed, over the weekend, right, was that somehow the British Open ended up with San Diego weather. I mean, I like the Open where they got the ski hats and the coats and everybody's bundled up in their parkas and the wind is 80 miles an hour. This was San Diego weather. What the heck happened there?
You're absolutely right. When I was watching the pregame on Wednesday, so to speak, and I'd realized half the players were in shorts in the practice round and there's no wind. And actually the grass was a lot greener than normal too. So it's been some mild weather over there. We didn't get the crazy bounces that you normally get in a British Open, but that probably explains some of the scores too. The scores were pretty low out there, especially Sunday. There was a lot of rounds in the 60s. So
yeah, pretty remarkable.
Wind changes all that. You can't shoot in the 60s in a wind, right?
No. That's you know, going back to the Lynx style course, Nestor. That's most of those courses need some wind. That's part of the defense to the golf course. Especially the modern tour players, when you make it soft like that and green, no wind, it's
muscle
like
up.
A chip and putt. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, boom,
absolutely. Need some wind.
Let's go right in. Nestor, I'll always love catching up with Ed and hearing about Forest Park and the Classic Five. We say to everybody, put it on your bucket list this summer. Get out there. And even if you haven't played, call Ed at Forest Park. Get some lessons.
Absolutely.
It's a fun game. Go chase the little white ball.
Ed, you think you could fix me?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know,
all right, man. Well, you're obviously Hill Charger. Ed Miller joining us here for the Classic Five, along with former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, my partner, Crab. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt, but I still have my Fadley's gear around here. If you want to ship a crab cake, great way to do that with our friends at Fadley's. And our friends at Wise Markets and Royal Farms, all of our sponsors have put together and put me on the road for this month of August. 30 crab cakes in 30 days. I'm going to eat more than 30 crab cakes, trust me, because I've looked at this. And my wife keeps saying, you know, you could go back next summer. It's Maryland. It's not like we're going to, like, Australia and you can't go back. But we're going all over the state of Maryland looking for a great crab cake and some great conversations. It's all coming together at WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.